B-Pod Studios.
Felger and
What do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Don, just to be clear, was there a specific family matter that Tuca needed to attend to, or when he left, was it just because he felt he couldn't stay in the bubble any longer and wanted to be with his family?
Well, fortunately, his family is safe and healthy. But with a newborn and two other young girls, it's been challenging, and for Tuca as well. And I think that, again, nothing specific. We're fortunate that his family is all healthy, and they're going to have their dad back to be around on a regular basis is exactly what Tuca needs to do at this point in time.
All right, coming up on 3:05 in the afternoon, hour two, Felger and Mazz on a reentry Monday, brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. DraftKings is our presenting sponsor here on the radio and the simulcast on NBC Sports. Boston, Saturday morning, something of a bombshell, Mazz.
Big time.
I'd say that was bombshell territory. Tuukka Rask opting out of the NHL restart and going home after two games in the first round of the playoffs against the Carolina Hurricanes, just a couple days after he comes out after that game two loss and says he's not stressing the results. It's August hockey. He's just trying to have fun. It's dull out there. It's not a playoff atmosphere. And so not 36 hours, not 48 hours later after that, he's gone. And there you go. What's your leadoff thought to the whole story?
Well, so look, I mean, like everybody, I was stunned when I heard it. I was absolutely caught off guard. Now, looking back, it makes sense because of the comments he made after game two. So to me, there were lots of angles to this thing, but I'll tell you this. I'm a hell of a lot more agitated with David Pastrnak than I am with Tuukka Rask. I'll tell you that. And I know we're talking about Tuukka, so I don't mean to completely shift the discussion. But I look at it and say, if Tuukka Rask is making a decision based on family and concerns over health, and it is a quote-unquote mature decision, well, I can respect that. What I can't respect is an immature decision to show up for camp late, have to be quarantined, expose yourself to somebody who potentially has the virus, and then suffer an injury, maybe because, and this is me speculating, maybe because what? You weren't properly conditioned because you didn't take it seriously enough when you came here in the first place? So I can tell you that. Now, again, I know people are focusing on Tuukka, and rightfully so. I'm more agitated with Pastrnak, and if Tuukka's head wasn't in it, and I question whether it was, then they might be better off without him.
Yeah, so I wasn't here Friday, so, I mean, I couldn't believe the post-game comments from Thursday night. The guy sounded completely checked out, like he'd rather be anywhere else. Still, I couldn't believe it. Saturday morning, I'm sitting in the car wash. I look down at Twitter. It's a statement from the official Bruins account saying Rask is leaving. I still couldn't believe it. And if it's a family issue and it's something serious, fine. But once you've made the commitment to your team, your teammates, your profession, I think you ride it out. I support any opt-out in any sport before you start up. But once you're in, I think you're in. And given how the team is now talking about it, and you just played that quote, it seems like everything's okay with his family. And good. I'm legitimately happy to hear that. But at the risk of sounding like a cold-hearted D-bag, if this family issue wasn't anything that was that big of a surprise, meaning maybe one of his kids had a bad allergy attack, a diabetic reaction, something along those lines, and he knew either he or his wife would freak out about something like that, then he never should have went in the first place. And regardless, I feel like they're better off without him. I know that the ceiling's higher and he's more talented than Yaroslav Halak and yay, Vezina trophies and all the stats you want to shove down my throat. But they're never going to win a Stanley Cup with this guy in net. He had his chance last year and he blew it.
Okay. So I'm sorry, Murray, I didn't mean to cut you off. And Mike, because this is the other angle to the story, okay? And again, I say the other. There were lots of angles to this story, but at least Murray's consistent. I was just going to say, you didn't like him anyway, Murray.
Right.
But at least you're consistent about the people who've been bitching about Tuukka, saying that they're never going to win a cup with him. Well, I don't think you have a right to be agitated at him. Like, I suppose you do, but I look at it and say, well, you thought they weren't going to win with him anyway, so clearly they're not sacrificing anything, so what do you care?
Well, people look at the money that he's making. He's one of the highest paid goalies in the NHL, if not the, right? And so the commitment that he's already gone, like, again, I think most people are pretty fair about, hey, you don't want to play your respective sport before you go. It's why I didn't even bash David Price, and I think that guy sucks. But once you go, I think you're in it, and you go and you ride it out. So, look, I mean, with just him being gone, though, I said it the day after Game 7, I'm never falling for the banana in the tailpipe with this guy ever again. And if he were to stay, and Ty Anderson, I think, correctly wrote about this on our website, 98.5sportsup.com, he'd be half-assing it. He'd be mentally out to lunch. He wouldn't want to be there. You'd be worse off even if he did stay. So give me the guy who wants to be there in Halak. I legitimately think they have a better chance. I really do.
Well, Matt, it's just the people who didn't believe in him saying this is why we didn't believe in him. And I think those people are justified. I think that side of the argument has won.
Okay, but I look at it more from the standpoint of the people who say that he's a choker and he's not good enough. Well, if he's a choker, then what are you worried about? See you later. Now, if you want to say he's unreliable,
but those people are saying, see, you can't rely on him in the big spot, and they're right.
I mean, the guy does have a knack for terrible timing, both on and off the ice.
Yeah, this is a little different, I think.
Yeah.
I think this is different.
Here's all I know.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I just think it's different. I think everything about this pandemic is different.
Well, and tell us what you know. I mean, do you know something that makes it different?
Well, no. I there were reports out there certainly that that he had some sort of family emergency, and based on whispers that I hear, I think it's something like that.
Okay, so I mean, Don Sweeney just said it wasn't serious, right? So. How do you read that?
I think it might not have been serious in retrospect.
Yeah.
In other words,
I alluded to a few of the things that it may have been. So, okay, you freak out, but you know that there's an underlying issue and those things could happen. And you know that could happen before you even go. So if you knew this would be an issue and you'd have to go because of it, you don't go in the first place. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, so that part I agree with, Murray. I don't love the timing of it either. I don't love the timing of it either. But I don't know. I mean, I have a hard time knowing what his home situation is like. And I'm not casting aspersions or blaming anyone. I'm just saying, what if he has a wife that's having trouble handling it and she's, you know, for lack of a better term, high maintenance?
Then he should have never went in the first place.
Well,
so the Bruins don't have their starting Vezina, finalist goalie for a Stanley Cup run because his wife is high maintenance.
I don't know, Mike. I'm just I know.
And I don't want to go too far with the family thing either because that's just fraught with trouble. I'm just saying, here's the bottom line with me. Go home. Tuukka, go home. Go home, dude. Go home. You never wanted to be there in the first place. That was obvious. And I spent all Friday saying that, okay? He did not want to be there. He was not reinvested. He was not invested in the restart. He never wanted to be there. He never wanted to come back. And that was so obvious. It was like at every turn, he was the last one back on the ice. When he got back on the ice, he tapped out of early practices. He got to the bubble and he hit the cough button and got shut down. It was like it's like that employee that doesn't want to be there, hates his job, and just takes any excuse not to show up. And that was him from the start. He never wanted to be there. Okay, so go home. Go home. And the second thing is they are better off. They're better off. They're better off. If Rask didn't want to be there and was just sort of going through the motions, which is what he was, and was taking any excuse to get out of there, then go home. Goodbye. Okay? He's better than Halak, but he's not so much better than Halak that him half-assing it and being half-engaged is going to be, better than
what did Ty Anderson say?
75? He is a detriment. Go home. Go home. You don't want to be here. Go deal with your stuff, whatever it happens to be. So go home. And they will be better off. They have a better chance of winning it all this year, rallying around this situation, rallying around Halak, or rallying around Rask, or rallying around the big meanies in the media or among the fans and trying to prove them wrong to get Rask's back or Halak's back, however they want to do it. They have a better chance of rallying around Halak and going on a run with him than they did in their current state with Tuukka Rask, who did not want to be there. And I think over the last couple of years, I don't know, maybe has lost some edge or passion for the game. I know that sounds crazy when he went on that great run last year, but the team has a real chance to win a cup. 95% of the guys that I watch in these restart games are committed and into it, and the level of play is getting better by the day, and it's ramping up almost to what a real playoff thing would be. And everyone else is in it, and he's not. So I don't know what to tell you. Better off being at home. Better off being at home. I also wonder if this was something of a mutual decision. And that means the team was involved in some way, shape, or form. Do you feel this was solely Rask just waking up and saying, you know what, I really should go home? Or do you think there's any chance the team was involved in some way, shape, or form?
Oh, no, I wonder if they had the conversation with them. I absolutely wonder that. And again, look, this is a little unfair. But the goal he gave up to Dougie Hamilton in game 2, the game winner, was a rocket. Okay, he wasn't going to stop it.
How was his effort?
But did you see how he reacted to it?
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Here it is. It was like this. It was like.
Yeah, exactly. He just kind of like as Hamilton was coming in and getting ready to blast away.
I'm not getting that one.
Yeah, you could almost see it like, I have no chance at this. I'm going to let it go by.
You let the guy come down on the plunger play or whatever you call it. Yeah, I'm not going to stop that one. There it is.
I mean, that's how I felt. And again, I'm not blaming him for allowing the goal. But his body language told me plenty.
His attitude sucks.
It was bad. There's no question. He wasn't engaged. He wasn't. I think in retrospect, you looked at him and say, hell, we were saying it after the first game. He didn't look right. He didn't look the same as he did last year. There's a whole nother level there that he can get to. And if his head wasn't in it, he wasn't going to get to that level.
So I wonder, and the timing is interesting too. You know, I wonder if after the way he played the last couple of games, his comments, his attitude, that Sweeney didn't call him up and say, Tuukka, what are we doing here? You know, you're not in it. Talking the way you're talking isn't helping. Playing the way that you're playing isn't bad, but you're just kind of there. Do you really want to be here? You know, and if you don't, we should all just pack it up and go home. And whether he was pushed or encouraged, because Kevin Paul DuPont yesterday sort of intimated this, and he didn't say it flat out, but the whole way DuPont's column was framed yesterday was that it was Sweeney's decision. You know, again, let me just read it to you. DuPont writes, we really don't know what's going on here because whatever the state of Rask's family dynamics, whatever influence they have on his mindset for the job, that's his business. What we do know with absolute certainty, though, is that Rask now twice has proven he is unable to balance being both a family man and a franchise goalie. And that's trouble. That's no way to run a hockey team. That's no way to run a hockey team. So is he talking about... He immediately talks about Sweeney there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Sweeney's running this, and he's determined that Rask, because he can't balance his family and his professional life, is better off just being sent home. Like, what does Sweeney have to do with the first? So
it sounds straight from the horse's mouth.
Right. You know, he ties Sweeney into this through the whole column. He says, Sweeney knows all too well he can't live with such uncertainty, especially at the number one goalie spot. There are enough bad, unexpected bounces in the game. Heck, hockey is a sport built on crazy hops and deflections and ricochets. Why set yourself up for another? In net, no less. To say Sweeney likes control is to say that Joey Chestnut appreciates a good hot dog. That's a good line. To say that Sweeney likes control is to say Chestnut appreciates a good hot dog. No matter how compassionate and understanding, he is a guy in charge of the Jeremy Jacobs black and gold wallet. You think Sweeney or Cam Neely care to risk going back to Jacobs again one day to explain why Rask didn't answer the bell? Think again. So that whole column is framed like that was like this was somehow Sweeney's and Neely's decision, and I think it's possible.
Oh, I wouldn't rule that out either.
Because I think there's all sorts of crap that goes on behind the scenes that teams cover for their athletes, and they should. They should. They should get their athletes back, and they should get Rask back. He, you know, for all the back and forth we've had about him, he's been a good employee, and he's, you know, he deserves their support. And so they've given him their support. But is it possible that the Bruins just looked at it and said, Tuukka, go home. Go home.
Oh, I don't think there's any question that's possible, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And maybe that this – and, you know, look, I do think there was something with the family. But – just what? I mean, Sweeney even mentioned that they've been talking about it for a while, that they knew the situation before. So it's like it wasn't purely any family emergency that brought him home. He never wanted to be there from day one, which he basically said publicly in his actions and told the team behind the scenes. And so after two games and the way he was playing in those comments on Thursday, it's like, you know what, Tukes?
Mike,
go home.
He was saying it before the thing even started.
Yeah, he was.
Guess I should start skating, I guess. You know, like he never wanted to do this.
See ya. Seriously. I don't mean to be so, just go home. We're going to ride this guy. the team, I think, has a chance to go on a better run now than they did with Rask with his, you know, head in the sand. That wasn't going to work. So I think if they play to their capabilities and Halak just, you know, plays to his capability, they can still do this thing. And I think, in fact, the odds are better. I think the odds are better given Rask's current state. So those are some opening thoughts. We have a million more, and I know you do as well. We'll get to your calls right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Well, guys, big news today. The Bruins announced this morning that goaltender Tuukka Rask has opted out. He has gone home. Here's what he had to say about this situation. Their general manager, Don Sweeney, had a press conference. He pointed out there are three young children at home, including a newborn. Everyone's healthy, but they do respect this decision by number 40. Mike, your thoughts.
This puts Tuukka Rask in a unique, if unusual, position. Others have opted not to enter the bubble, some most with health reasons, but others have left the bubble for childbirth or for health reasons or various reasons, but nobody has simply opted to just leave the bubble because they didn't want to be here and they needed to be with their family. I would not have done it. The rest of the league's players have not done it. I think this will be, in a city that hasn't really embraced Tuukka Rask despite his success, a city that I grew up in, I played and coached there for 20 years and live there now, this is going to be a difficult decision to swallow for Boston Bruins fans. Okay. I would have respected it a lot more if he decided not to enter the bubble and instead of leaving his team in a lurch in the middle of this tournament. That's a little different.
Can they win without him?
They can win without him. Their chances aren't as good. Without Tuukka Rask, he's clearly the number one goalie for a reason.
All right, that's a big story here.
There's Mike Milbury opening up that broadcast on Saturday. That was a whopper. That was a whopper. And it's, you know, it's not surprising to me because it was clear he didn't want to be there in the first place, but it's still stunning, right? It's like, you know, just a mini case of that Brady decision where it shouldn't be surprising given all that we knew, but when the news came out that morning that Brady left, it was like, holy crap.
Right.
Oh, it's shocking, but not surprising, you know. But either way, that's how the national broadcast began on Saturday with Mike Milbury sort of condemning-ish Tuukka Rask and these actions. So your thoughts on him. We've got a million more. I know you've got a million more. We'll sort of mix in these calls throughout the course of the day as we go. So why don't we do Matt and Braintree right here. Go ahead, Matt.
I got to preface this. I'm a big bandwagon hockey fan. I don't know much about hockey. What I can tell you following it as a, you know, casual bandwagon fan is Tuukka Rask sucks. And I knew last year.
I'm going to let you go. If you're not a hardcore hockey fan and you think Rask sucks, you're really not worth my time.
See,
Kevin and Brighton.
Right. So that's the one that irritates me. If he sucks, what do you care that he left?
Yeah. Okay. That's not worth our time. Kevin and Brighton, go ahead.
Look, I got to think that it's easy for everybody to say, but as a father, it's like, I understand. I mean, I think that he should have stuck to his guns and not gone in the first place. But all the pressure to go from Sweeney, from Neary, from his teammates, and he gave it a go. And then into it, he's like, I got to get back to my family. If I had a newborn and two other kids, you know, it's just tough. And I don't want to be away from my kids for more than a week. And I think that it's easy for everybody to talk, but put yourself under that pressure. And who knows? I wish he hadn't gone in the first place, but maybe he lied to himself and he should have stuck to his guns and not gone. But I think that Sweeney should have seen it ahead of time and not let him go to begin with.
Well, so, you know, should the Bruins have done more to look at Rask's condition, you know, if you will, how his, you know, his mental state or his, what am I trying to say, his commitment level from the start and say, well, this is trouble, you know, he's sort of being forced back to do this. He doesn't really want to do it. His heart's not in it. And should we just shut him down before we even go?
Well, so I do wonder about that, Mike, because again, you said, did they have the discussion up in Toronto? And or does Sweeney say to him after the fact, hey, look, just maybe you should go home? Maybe before Rask was expressing doubts and the team said the opposite. Maybe the team said, just give it a shot.
Yeah.
Give it a shot. Let's see how it goes. And maybe they thought they could get him up there and that, you know, once they got into the routine, that it would be all right and he would settle in and he wouldn't have the concerns that he did. And then, you know, again, if you believe the reports of that there was some sort of incident, maybe that sort of triggered his desire to get out of there, and whether it was a major emergency or not. You follow me? Yeah. In other words, just a happening made him say, you know what, I don't want to be here. And so they said, all right, fine, go home. That's it. It's over. But maybe they encouraged him to try it out at the beginning, and he clearly wasn't all there. That's apparent.
Dan in New Hampshire, your thoughts. Go.
Yeah, hey, Maz, I was curious about how you're going to rip on David Pastrnak for not being able to play due to something completely out of his control because he's injured. Yet you're going to stick up for the world-class a-hole, Tuukka Rask, that quits on his team 2 games into the playoffs. He knew what this was going in. He could have decided long before. He had months to decide, then he quits on them. And then you say, you know, you stick up for him, defend him because it's a family matter. But when Tom Brady does that, you know, you rip him for that, but it's okay for Tuukka.
Yeah, well, I don't think Brady's being sincere about it. And Brady's, you know, family, he didn't have to go into a bubble for 2 months or whatever to do his job. He could have easily been going back and forth and done both.
Was that guy mad at you because you ripped Pastrnak?
Yes. Honestly, he deserves it. I don't even care. Like, the Brady analogy to me holds no water whatsoever. With regard to Pastrnak, how do we know that he got hurt at something that was beyond his control?
Right. So here's
what if he pulled a groin muscle because he wasn't in shape?
Thank you. And that's what this is. Like, the Rask thing, fine, whatever. I'm legitimately mad about Pastrnak because I think he's a lazy idiot who did it to himself. He got injured, supposedly, after the overtime goal in game one while celebrating, right? Like, he goes up and you see him hunch over. And that's basically because he's not in shape. And why is that? Because he was out dicking around while the rest of the team was getting ready for all this, you know, getting ready to go to the bubble. He did it to himself. It's 2 straight playoff runs where this moron injured himself because he is who he is. And
I mean,
he's arguably their best player. It's infuriating.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I'm not even convinced that he injured himself on that play. I think he was already hurt. He had missed some practice time. And so maybe he aggravated it on that. But again, I come back to the same thing. You're late to camp. Cam Neely called him out, not me. Cam Neely called out him and Kasha. He called them both out. Said there's, you wish some guys would have made some better decisions. Then he exposed himself to someone who had the virus. So he had to miss more of camp. Then he gets hurt. So you tell me, if a guy is late to camp and not conditioned, is he more likely to get hurt or not? I say yes. So I'm more agitated with Pastrnak.
We continue with your thoughts. First, an update from Big Jim Murray, then more on the Bruins and Rask.
And a reminder that today is Reentry Monday, presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Maybe you're looking to finance a home, mortgage, a commercial, real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit ebsb.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When Tuukka mentioned last night about it didn't feel like playoff hockey, did you have a conversation with him after that? And was there a connection between what his comments were last night and the decision to leave today?
No, I mean, again, nothing specific to his direct comments. I think you can rightfully infer that, Tuukka was having some tough time being away in this environment, and nothing against what the NHL has put together and the intensity of the playoffs. This is playoff hockey. I mean, let's make no mistake about it. The stakes are high and the players are invested, and Tuukka in his own right felt that he needed to be elsewhere and rather than being here in this current situation. And he's the same goaltender that went to the Stanley Cup Finals in a game 7 last year and taking a team. And he'll be the same player, when we get up and running again next year. But at this point in time, the two aren't related.
So Sweeney says it's not related to his comments Thursday night. I don't buy that.
Me neither.
It's all a piece. I mean, again, they didn't send him home, or he didn't go home because he said those things. He was sent home, or he went home because he feels that way. Like, that's just, he felt those were genuine comments. He just wasn't feeling it. He never wanted to come back. He never wanted to be there. He never wanted to go to Toronto. It's just obvious. He was screaming that out in his actions and his comments, basically from day one. So he didn't want to be there. Like, that was just obvious. And Thursday, the way he played and the way he's been acting was just a piece to it. But, you know, there is a whole interesting timing element too, Maz, because I do think it's possible that this was a mutual decision where the Bruins said, you know, Tuukka, if you're not into it, you go home. And, you know, never mind, you've got something at home that just flared up and, you know, something that you knew might flare up to begin with. I mean, whatever that situation was. But I do think the way Kevin Paul wrote his whole column was if it was a decision made by Sweeney and Neely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a sneaky way to get out some information or just to write it from that. I mean, it's just out of nowhere that he wrote it from that perspective.
Veteran move.
Right? So, I mean, that's what you do when you can't source it. You don't want to reveal a source. You don't want to make it a report. Your opinion's based on what you know. So anyway, but the whole timing thing is interesting. And I do wonder about the coach, you know, where the coach comes into this. Because, you know, Cassidy said he didn't hear it from Rask. Rask didn't call Cassidy. Rask called Sweeney and Neely, and then Cassidy was told by Sweeney that Rask was leaving.
Correct.
Okay, so there's, you know, when I heard that on Saturday in those press conferences, I was like, that immediately, you know, brought my little felt pin out, you know, like, what?
The Felger antenna.
Yeah, well, the first call's not to the coach. The first call's to the coach's boss. That says something right there.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, remember, the Thursday night comments came after Rask played back-to-back. And I think Cassidy wanted him to play back-to-back, sort of pushed him to play back-to-back based off his comments on Wednesday. I can't remember what shows you were here for or not, Maz, but on Wednesday after game one, Cassidy said, in terms of Rask playing back-to-back, well, this is an 11 a.m. game. There's right. No travel usually, right? Remember that? So, yeah, you were there for that.
Yeah, the only one I missed was Friday. I only missed Friday.
Okay, so I feel like Cassidy was sort of angling for Rask to start that back-to-back game. Then Rask plays that back-to-back game. They lose. He sort of half-asses it, right? And then he comes out and says these games aren't, you know, these games are dull. These aren't playoff games. So was Rask pushed to play when he didn't want to play? And then he bags out 2 hours before game three? Again, Thursday night game, Friday was off, and then the game was Saturday, right? Saturday at noon, another mm-hmm. weird sort of start time. Were they pushing him back on the ice to play Saturday at noon? Did he need the day off? Did he need a mental health day? And Cassidy said, no, you're in. And when Rask found out 3 hours before the game, he said, that's it, I'm out. Like, I'm just, these are all, I don't know. There's something there with the timing because this didn't happen on the off day. It happened the morning of game three. So what's up with that?
Yeah, I think it's clear he doesn't respect Cassidy for not telling him. I think that's extremely telling, and maybe that's what it is, or maybe it's because Cassidy is usually pretty blunt with his assessment of Tuukka Rask after some of these games, and even after game one he said it was fine. You know, like, if you're a high paid, you know, athlete that you know, you're supposedly one of the best goalies in the league, don't you maybe take that as a slight and a little bit personal? And he's done that kind of thing in the past, so maybe he just looks at him as like, you know what, I don't really like how you talk about me anyway, so I'm not telling you, I'm telling your boss, the guys that actually matter to me.
I mean, the absence of any kind of conversation there is odd. There's just no way around that. That's not normal. Yeah, at the very least, you'd think he'd talk to both of them, right? They say, well, you tell Sweeney first. Maybe he's got a better relationship with him. Maybe he looks at it, he's the GM, whatever. But then you call the coach. Like, you have the conversation with both or both at the same time. Whatever. The fact that he didn't even talk to the coach, I agree, that's unusual. Very unusual.
And, yeah, and that's a flag. And so the timing, the morning of game three, it wasn't during the off day. It was the morning of game three. Didn't they all find out when they got on the bus?
Yeah.
So it's like, what happened there? Did Rask find out he was playing again? He didn't want to play? Or did he find out he wasn't playing? Or, you know, like, I just, you know, just you know, the sniffer in me, the timing, I just wonder about. You know, which again, Sweeney allowed for none of that. This is me just, you know, speculating off the top of my head. Sweeney was asked, you know, in fact, Sweeney intimated that they knew this was possible for a while. Jimmy, play Sweeney one if you could, please.
Hi, Don. As you mentioned, he had the newborn at home. Did you have an inkling that this could be a possibility before you guys arrived in Toronto, or did it come to a head in being isolated up there?
I mean, again, he didn't really give us an indication that this would absolutely going to happen. You know, the conversations with all of our players, you saw Steve Kampfer make an early decision. You're seeing players are, you know, in different sports make family decisions. And during the course of the time up here, it's been increasingly more and more difficult for Tuca to mentally stay where he needs to be. And ultimately made a decision, you know, that he felt he had to be in a different place. And again, I think we all understand that these are trying times for everybody. NHL's done a fabulous job in protecting the players' health and safety. But the priority for Tuca at this point in time, and rightfully so, has to be his family, and we support them.
So the team continues to be supportive, but, you know, Sweeney acts like it was a building thing, yeah. Not any specific thing, not any family emergency, not any reaction to comments after game three, just a building thing that, you know, came to a head, which, again, I find hard to believe on both ends. I think there was something at home, and I think there was, you know, something that happened there in the bubble, namely Rask's play and attitude. His attitude blew. And I just wish he wouldn't have said what he said on Thursday.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't blame him for, well, it turns out, I guess it was honest, but the point is that if he had said, look, I'm having a hard time getting my head in it because I got something at home, that's like that would have been then a fully honest statement, right? You know, or if you believe that angle. And that's sort of understandable and it's consistent. Instead, on Thursday, he said, well, it's hard to get into because there's no fans in the stands. And it's, you know, it's not really playoff hockey because it's a dull atmosphere out there. And I'm not really stressing the results because it's August hockey. So
one thing, if he said the former, it's honest, it's relatable. People would get it given the world that we're living in. The other thing just sounds whiny.
Yeah, except, I mean, who knows? Maybe he doesn't want people to know what's going on. Like, I have no idea. I don't know.
I mean, Sweeney sure told us it was a family related. If Rask had said on Thursday night, you know, it's a hard environment, and I don't know, I'm battling through it. Like, he doesn't have to tell us everything or anything, but don't tell us you're not into it because there's no fans in the stands.
You know, I wonder too, as you were talking about it, like maybe the reason, part of the reason Cassidy wanted him to play was the opposite. And I'm talking about the back to back now, because you don't want to give him too much time to think, because you're worried that he might opt out. Like, you know, keep him playing, keep him focused on hockey. Let's immerse him in it and see if we can get him to totally connect and commit.
On this, I think I'd give Cassidy zero blame. Well, I mean, what? Should he be blamed because he wanted to ride Rask, play him back-to-backs, play him on game three at the noon start? Oh, wait, a coach wants to ride a Vezina finalist goalie in the playoffs? You know, crazy. You know, no. He wanted to ride his best goalie, which a coach should. And I think the way Cassidy carries himself, I don't know, it hasn't hurt Rask. He's been excellent the last couple of years.
Oh, I don't know. I don't blame Cassidy either. I mean, in fact, I think I find the fact that he's as blunt as he is to be refreshing. He treats them like grown-ups.
And maybe it helps. Maybe it's helped Rask. It hasn't hurt him. It hasn't hurt him, you know, in the regular season through the grind of the year. It hasn't solved the Game 7 issue that Rask seems to have, the big moment issue. And maybe that's just unsolvable. Maybe that's just unsolvable, and that is what it is with Rask, and that's why maybe they are better off with Yaroslav Halak. Continue with the conversation on this. I want to get to some game thoughts. We'll do it all. Speaking of Halak, boy, was there a moment when, collectively, was there a dump laid in their pants, in his pants, in our pants, in everyone's pants? I want to get to that, leading off to some team thoughts right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Zellner and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Halak stops it back of the net, shoots it up the middle, he gave it away, backhand, they score. Halak with a gift, Niederreiter the goal, and the Bruins lead trimmed to 2-1.
I mean, he can wrap it around the boards. He has time to decide what he wants to do, maybe even too much time. A Hurricane player's coming in on each side of the net, so he tried to go high, not quite through the middle. He tried to go high to the right wing, and Niederreiter knocks it down with his glove, and it's a wide-open net on the backhand.
Mistakes, they happen, and we're trying to make the right play out there, and, you know, I saw an opening. I tried to shoot it out, and, you know, the guy caught it. So, end up in a net, but... We just can't, we were still up. And I know I gave them a little bit of life, but I think we responded the right way, and we kept playing our game till the end. And, you got to give a credit to our guys, just stepping up, guys coming into lineup and playing hard. And that's playoff hockey.
Proud the way the whole team played. You're right, after Yarrow's, he tried to get the clear. They read it well, but right away on the bench, Brad Marchand stands up. Hey, that's not going to hurt us. We're fine. We're playing well. And it's true. The whole bench was like that. I think there was no collective letdown like, oh boy, here it comes. You know, we knew we were playing our game.
So that right there, Maz, is going to be the key, could be the key moment of the entire run here for the Bruins. Because mm-hmm. What a moment that was. I mean... just the drama of the whole day, right? You know, your Vezina finalist goalie bails in the morning. Your backup takes over. He's pitching a shutout. You've got, 10 minutes left in the third period to go up 2-1 in a game that people thought you weren't going to be in because your best goalie and your best player were both on the sidelines. And the guy's pitching a shutout, and then he just does that. He hands that goal to the Canes. Could you believe that play?
Oh my God, please. I almost lost my mind. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Oh my God.
We can laugh about it now, but it's right. One of the dumbest plays I've ever seen in all my years watching sports.
So I'm not laughing about it. I'm still going, listen, next time, just slide the puck along the boards to the defenseman.
Well,
Chara was right there.
Yeah, Mike's right. Stay in the net. Playing the puck is not this guy's strength because he does get a little, correct me if I'm wrong, he gets a little wacky when he's out of there and trying to play the puck a little bit. Like, that's proof of it again. Well, my God, stay in net, dude.
He's actually okay handling the puck. He's not horrible.
Better than Tuca.
He's better than Rask, for sure. But don't send it up the middle of the ice. Don't send it over the middle of the ice, dude. Like, what are you doing? Oh, my God.
But the
could
guy
you believe that?
Catching it with his glove. Like, here you go.
Like,
wow.
I mean, if that didn't make you sick to your stomach, I don't know what does. It's like, what a storyline. It was playing out perfectly, and then he does that. And if they had gone on to lose that game, Mass.
Oh, backbreaker.
So just think of it. Rask bails. The backup goes in. He coughs the game up in the third period. Now they're down 2-1. Rask is gone. The veteran backup's a puddle. And where do we go from here? And instead, they circle the wagons. The Canes didn't really have much of a, I don't know if they had a quality scoring chance after that. They had a couple shots, but nothing super dangerous after that. And they close out the win. And, I think that's like a kind of a turning point kind of thing. And so, even in victory, that play to me was the lead play of that entire game. I can't believe he did that. But they hung on. And I thought in general, that was a good win. That was a good win for that Bruins team, given the circumstances. And you see it all the time in hockey. You do. Backup takes over, and I don't know where they go on a run. And it happens. Now, there's a lot more cases of a backup taking over and them cratering. But, we forget those because you expect it to happen. But it is a sport where a backup takes over, Bennington last year. And it's all, it's not necessarily happening in the playoffs, but at some point, someone from out of nowhere, Matt Murray with the Penguins, Holtby with the Capitals wasn't, he was a fill-in when he beat you in 2012. And then, whatever, it just happens. Maybe they're not all 34-year-old guys like Halak or veteran retreads like Halak, but hockey's a weird sport where the other guy takes over, the other guy jumps in, and all of a sudden they're winning games you never thought they would win. And I just think that's on the table for the Bruins, and it's on the table for the Bruins because of that moment. That giveaway goal didn't go from bad to worse. They actually got better after that and closed the game out. I think that's hugely important.
Well, so look, and Cassidy said some things, too, in terms of how the team feels about Halak and, you know, the guys like him, the guys who play for him, all of which I think is important. The other thing, Mike, is let's not forget, the Bruins built it this way. They built it this way. Now, for lots of reasons, one of which is the durability factor with Rask, but the overall, you want to tell me, you want to call it a reliability factor with Rask. They spend as much or more money on the goalie position than any team in the league, with the exception of Montreal,
Second in the league, right? Yeah. Sorry.
And so, you know, the whole point is we're going to need the second guy at some point, and now they need him. And let's not kid ourselves either. Their roster is pretty deep. I mean, watching them in that game Saturday, like, boy, they got a lot of good players. Even a guy like Kasha that you look at and say, you know, he gets his ass back. He does what they want him to do. There's not a lot of weaknesses in that lineup.
I like him. I don't know. I don't think he can finish at an elite level, or he hasn't here, but I like a lot of his game. So we'll mix in more of your team thoughts with the Rask Halak story. I promise you're all lined up. We'll get right to your calls in 90 seconds. Big Jim Murray has an update first, then we're right to you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.